good Christmas is not gifts necessarily at all anymore. It's just a calm and quiet, tranquil, reasonably healthy time with your family. The church services that are always such a blessing. My wife and I had a good Christmas this year, and hope you did the same. In chapter number 6, we got one verse that we'll be looking at tonight. I do not intend to keep you a long time. Lord being my help, just wanted to look at this verse, and because it is the winding down of 2023, I believe the Lord has a few things to say to us through this verse here in verse number 16. Jeremiah 6, verse number 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Father, again, before we try to preach your word, we'd ask your help. God, I pray the Holy Spirit to forgive us of every spot and stain. Lord, he'd lead us and guide us. Lord, anything that is amiss in our heart, anything that would bring you displeasure, Lord, I pray you'll forgive us. And God, help us to be pure before thee to preach your word. Lord, we're so recognizing of the fact that we're not worthy to stand in this place, never have been worthy to open your word and try to preach. But Lord God, from the day you first called me, I've been cognizant of the fact that my strength was in you. My help came from above. And Lord, if you be pleased, help us to preach your word tonight, and folks would gain from what we would bring forth out of these scriptures. I pray the Holy Spirit will take and use and do according to his pleasure. Pray for the many requests again that Brother Ned prayed for. We beg you for these folk. For those that are sick in our church family, I pray healing. Lord, those that are experiencing difficulties of, Lord, whatever sort, I pray, Lord, you'd magnify yourself and show yourself to them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, with surprising rapidity, this year has flown by and is drawing to a close. As Sunday, New Year's Eve, approaches rapidly, a lot of folks, including myself, we find ourselves reflecting back on 2023, looking forward to 2024, and it's been a rather, at times, difficult year for my wife and I. We don't want to complain. We don't want to make mountains out of molehills, but there's just been times in 2023 where we needed the Lord in a special way, and we look back on it, and she laughed before Christmas. She said, "We're going to buy fireworks this year," and I thought that was odd because she's never been too tuned up for fireworks. But we're going to buy fireworks, and we're going to blow 2023 into the night sky and welcome in 2024. And I understand that sentiment. There's folks that had a whole lot worse and harder year than we did, but nevertheless, you reflect back on 2023, and if you're a child of God, you saw places and ways that you should have served in a greater fashion. You saw mistakes that you made. I certainly do anyway. I look back and I think, why didn't I do that? Or why did I do this? And so on and so forth. And you look forward to the new year, and I've heard it said that the new year is a year of do-overs. You get to take a clean slate, a clean canvas, and you get to paint, and you get to manufacture a new year in your life, and put the old behind and press forward toward the new, so to speak. As Sunday evening approaches, Times Square will be filled with literally tens of thousands of people, and they'll stand in the cold, perhaps the rain, maybe snow, and they'll wait till the stroke of midnight, and that great crystal ball slides down that big, its descent down that big slide, and it'll touch down, and 2024 will be there, and the Auld Lang Syne will kick off, and they'll be drinking their liquor, and they'll be kissing each other, and all the celebration of a new year, and everybody will say, 2023 is gone, welcome 2024. Well, that's not entirely true. Those who know Scripture, those who know the Bible, you know that you will face 2023 once again when you're in the presence of the Lord at that judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, that Paul said, we shall give an account done for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And so while 2023 shall be in the past, it certainly will not disappear as far as our personal commitment to Christ, those things we should have done, those things we should not have done for the cause of Christ. We'll see them again. As the old saying goes, 2023 is now in the books. Well, it is indeed in the books. God's keeping a careful record. I say all that to say that we ought to, with soberness, a huge amount of sobriety, embrace the new year, knowing that what we do and what we don't do, we will face once again in eternity. God says in this verse number 16, he gives us a piece of just invaluable, that you couldn't put a price tag on the advice that he gives the child of God in verse 16. And yet, I would say all advice from God is invaluable. It's all worth receiving, contemplating, meditating on, and implementing in our lives. Where he said, stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I believe in 2024, and that's the title of my message, simply doing more in 2024. And yes, it rhymes. Yes, it has a little catchiness to it. But think about what I just said, doing more in 2024. Well, preacher, I feel like I had a good year for the Lord. I feel like I've done this and I didn't do that. And the Lord was in great measure pleased with me in 2023. And I say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But there's still more that can be done in 2024. I would say there's three things in looking at this simple verse in 16, and it's been preached a lot of ways. I cannot tell you today that I've ever heard it preached as a New Year's message, but that's what we're going to look at for a few minutes tonight. How does this, relate to us? What's pertinent about this verse of Scripture and us closing out a year about, if the Lord tarries his coming, about to launch a whole new year? Well, there's three things I want to mention quickly this evening concerning this. Three things we should all be doing more of in 2024. Number one, evaluating our position. Well, preacher, I'm saved. Yes, that's part of our position. But I'm talking about the position of where you are in the race for the that incorruptible crown of life. Where are you in the kingdom of God? Where are you on this journey toward that celestial city called heaven? Where, if you had to write down on a piece of paper, do you feel like you're at with the Lord tonight? That's the position I'm talking about. Thus saith the Lord in verse 16, stand ye in the ways and see. And those words challenge the believer, or challenge the reader, to stop and look around and take note of just where you are. The Bible says stand, stand, stop, stand, look. Observe, take note, make a judgment on where you are. Stand ye in the ways and see. Long before there was ever GPS and Google Maps and all of the wonders of modern technology, some of you older folks can identify with me. You had this accordion thing called a road map that you would pull out. And if you were wise, you would get on that map and you would plan your journey and trace it out and write the road numbers and write the directions down to where you were getting 300 or 400 miles down the road. You would plan it out and you would look. But anybody who ever did much traveling, anybody who rode or great distances, used that map, invariably I would find myself having to pull over, pull that map back out that you never could get folded back up in that nice little flat thing and stick it back in the glove box. You'd pull it out and you'd start taking stock of where you were and where it was you wanted to go, because you just knew you made a wrong turn somewhere. I know, you punch up the little icon Google Maps, you punch it in an address and it'll calculate for a second or two and it'll see a green go sign and you just hit go. And it begins to talk to you and tell you every turn, every nook and cranny That'll tell you if there's a wreck ahead a lot of times. It tells you everything, but I'm talking about in the Christian life, we don't necessarily have that infallible GPS. We've got it, but it's not. We don't use it, and we don't see it like we ought to. And sometimes God just says, stand still and take stock of things. Where are you in this thing called life? That's good advice for any day of the year, but particularly as we're winding down this year, and particularly as we're about to embark on a new year, it's a very good time for us as believers to stop in this journey of life and see where we are. I stop often and take stock of where I am in my spiritual journey. I'm not saying that makes me a super saint, far from it. But it's wise to just know where you are with the Lord. It's wise to know where you failed, where you made a wrong turn, where you've deviated from the course that God has set before you before it gets very difficult to get back on that course. One of the things doing more in 2024 requires is evaluating our position. Stand ye, the Lord says, in the ways and see. There are two things I jotted down that has to do with our position. And number one is our perception. Now, perception is just you talking about an ambiguous word. You talking about a word that means a lot of things to a lot of people. This word means a lot of things to a lot of people. That is the word perception. It doesn't take you long to talk to somebody concerning politics, and you find real quickly that somebody's perception doesn't match your perception. Perception doesn't necessarily equate with reality, is what I'm saying tonight. I can talk with someone who is what we would call woke. I'm sure many of you know that term. A liberal, ultra-liberal. I could talk with them just for a moment and find out quickly that their position or their perception is running that way. My perception's running that way. Doesn't mean that we're living in the world of reality. It means that what we perceive to be may not be reality. I'm not an optimist, and I'm not a pessimist. I like to tell people I'm a realist. I try to look at the facts. I look at what I know to be so, and I try to make judgment calls based on that. That's why I love the Word of God. It'll tell you exactly the judgment calls to make on virtually any issue in life, anything in life. It'll tell you what your perception ought to be. Talk to someone that's into this trans movement, their perception is way out there compared to my perception. You talk to someone that's caught up in this thing of Islam, and their perception 180 degrees the other way is way out there from where my perception is. I'm saying you can find with 20 people, you'll find 20 different perceptions. God wants us to live in reality, and so we need to evaluate our perception. As we evaluate our position, perception has everything to do with where we are. It has everything to do with what we do and what we think and the way we act. Proverbs 29, verse 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he follows that up with this statement, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The law, what God says about the matter. What God has to say about the current issues. I'm not interested in my opinion necessarily, and I'm not interested in this one or that one's opinion. I'm interested in what the Lord has to say. Early days of the Civil War, President Lincoln was approached by one of his generals, and he says, Mr. President, do you believe the Lord is on our side? Mr. Lincoln looked at him and he said, I'm not concerned about the Lord being on our side. I'm concerned about us being on the Lord's side. And you think about that. If we're perceiving things in life according to Scripture, I say we got a real good dose of reality and we know what's going on. And we can bank on it, we can react, and we can live according to our perception then if it's through the Word of God, that perception. James chapter 1, verse 22 talks about people who say they have a perception, But the reality is far removed from the perception, where he says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." He's seeing a reflection. He has a perception of what he's seeing, but he's a hearer of things and he's not a doer of things. The Bible says that he cannot have an accurate perception of things if he's not incorporating the thuses and the therefores of this Bible in his life. Not only perception that has to do with our position, but priorities. I think every one of us could look back on 2023 and we could find times and we could find places in our life where priorities were askew, where priorities were not what they should have been, where priorities were muddled and misplaced. Priorities. Matthew 6:33 says it best. But seek ye first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus elaborated on that statement in chapter 6, in chapter 22 of Matthew. The Bible says, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, came," or asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" In other words, you say they're all equally important. Are you saying we should know them and we should do them? What would you say, good master, is the greatest commandment in all of these commandments? Tempting him, trying to trip him up. Jesus said unto him, here it is. Here is the overriding commandment of the commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Whew. Say a step ladder, about a 30-foot step ladder to get to that bar. Love the Lord with all thine heart and all thy soul and with all thy mind. He went on to say, verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I just have this suspicion, not knowing any more than what you would know looking at Scripture, but I have this thought in my mind that Jesus read this man's thoughts. He knew where this man's life was at, and he just put two commandments out there that he knew was flat impossible for this guy to reconcile with. This lawyer had he had great trouble loving God with all his heart and with all of his mind and soul. He had an even greater problem with treating others as he wanted them to treat him. Jesus went on to say in conclusion, the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying if you'll love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, everything else will fall into place. I assure you, you'll not have any other spiritual issues. You'll not have any other spiritual hang-ups. God will make sure that the rest of it falls in place for you. You seek him first. Secondly, not only evaluating our position, I believe that we need to do more of this in 2024, is escalating our performance. Escalating. Ratcheting up. Improving. Catching another gear. You that mess with cars and trucks and motorcycles and such, you know that the higher up the chain of gears you go, everything else being equal, the faster and quicker you're going to get to somewhere. I was teaching my grandson how to ride my four-wheeler, and you know, I was amazed he picked it up so fast, because I was trying to figure out how to tell him lower gears meant slower gears and higher gears meant faster gears, and trying to correlate that all, that the lower was for pulling and heels, and the higher gears was for speed. I probably shouldn't have told him about the higher gears being speed gears, but you learn the escalation of speed is tied to effort. The engine is still turning the same RPMs, but you pop that transmission in a little bit higher gear, Brother Jeff's a jam-up mechanic, He'll tell you, everything else being equal, that car is going to take off. The tractor, whatever it is, you keep going up, ratcheting up, the escalating the gears, and you're going to go faster and more and better. Escalating our performance. This is borne out in the second part of that verse, in verse 16, where it says, ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein. In this portion of this verse, we see two very critical facets in escalating our performance. First of all, there has to be desire to do it. There is nothing going to be accomplished in anybody's life worthwhile without a desire to see it come to pass and a desire to do it. This is a time of year where New Year's resolutions, I was sitting there watching a little bit of TV the other night with my wife, and I said, you know, I haven't seen hardly any diet commercials this year. You know, you're usually inundated with diet commercials around the first of the year because everybody resolves to lose weight and they resolve to get in fit, and gym memberships just go astronomically out the roof. You see people out walking on the highways, some of them with weights in their hands. You see people making a resolution they're going to do more and they're going to do better. As soon as I said that, there come up Weight Watchers commercial, and then followed by a Nutrisystem commercial, followed by a Golo commercial. So you just well get used to the commercials that are coming because people make these resolutions. Those who lose weight, those who get in better shape, those who get healthier, if you're a weightlifter, get stronger and create a better physique, it's because you have a desire to do it. All the intentions of the world won't suffice if there's not a desire to do that. Young people, you can relate to this. You go to school and you're told by your mom and dad, and you're told by the teacher and any other adult, mom and pop, papa and nana and whoever else, they tell you, want to see you get good grades. The thought or the need to get good grades is forever present. But the will to do so is what's lacking in a lot of kids, myself included, way back when. I needed dad's size 13 planted squarely in the ulterior posterior on me often in school. I would like to have been in the beta club. I would have liked to have had the good grades, but I did not have the drive and the desire to get there. I'd like to lose 25, 30 pounds, but without that desire to get out there and do it, you'll see me this shape next year or worse. Has to be a desire. God said, ask for the old path. You have to want the old path. You have to have a desire to do more in 2024, or it'll go by the wayside. It'll be like so many others. The gym membership will be there for 3 months or whatever they sell now. Maybe it's a 6 month. I don't know, but it'll be like exercise equipment. I got a basement full of exercise equipment that I used when I was younger. It's a dust gatherer now. No desire to use it now. No desire. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to do more for the Lord in 2024, it's going to have to be through a desire. I believe one way we need to escalate our performance in our desires is for souls. And I will tell you this about the Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know their motivation, but they care about people because they get out and they're constantly propagating their message. And the Church of the Latter-day Saints, they're out there constantly giving out their message. They care about their message getting to people. I wonder if we care about our message of Jesus Christ, the only way, the saving way, the redemptive way. Do we care about that message reaching our neighbors and our family? Paul said in Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I point them right back at me. Where is our burden and where is our desire? Young people, where is your desire to see that classmate at school who knows the difference between right and wrong, and you know they have no regard for God? Where is your desire to see that classmate come to know the Lord? I believe not only in souls, but our desire should be that we grow in spirituality. I had much to say about that. Let me just say this. I think of that little baby Chandler. There's nobody in the world going to take a porterhouse steak into that baby, lay it in front or lay it across that baby's chest and say, have at it. There's nobody that foolish, nobody that ignorant, nobody that stupid, if you just want to say the word stupid. Nobody's going to do that because they know that it is a babe and it has to have the milk. Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. There's a lot of meat in this Bible, but there's a whole lot of milk too. And people want to, I've had people, it's kind of exasperating at times. They'll come up and they'll want to talk prophecy, or they'll want to talk this deep truth, or what did that verse mean, and this great mystery of the Bible. And knowing them and knowing how they're living, they can't do the rudiments of Christianity. They can't drink the milk from the bottle. Why? What profit is it to know anything greater when you can't receive the milk of the Word? Paul said, we're to grow. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. Escalate our performance not only includes escalating our desires, but our determination. That verse in, or that portion of that verse, ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein. And walk therein. Paul's determined. He was determined with all that was in him not to get sidetracked from following Jesus Christ. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, where he says, for I determined not to know anything among you. You can say I was a great Pharisaical student. You can say, I was a zealous Pharisee for the sake of the synagogue. All of this stuff. You can say whatever you want to say, but I don't care about none of that. My only desire, my only focus, my only goal in life is not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Folks, when we get it simple and we get back to that, things will pick up. When it becomes all in all that His will is done in our lives, we'll do more in 2024. I want to say quickly, I'm going to skip a little bit of this and just go to the third point. Doing more in 2024 means evaluating our position, escalating our performance, but finally emulating His perfection. There's a university, the most prestigious in the nation, if you've been keeping up with the news, Harvard University. I've heard about Harvard since I was old enough to know what Harvard or what colleges were. Harvard is the pinnacle in many circles, in many, many estimations. Harvard is the pinnacle of education in this country. I think it's the pinnacle of cesspool. I think it's the greatest conglomerate of false perceptions, misperceptions. It's a hodgepodge of whoever wants to do anything or say anything, except they will not tolerate Jesus Christ in that place. They want to stab. They don't care if you talk about other religions. You will not get nowhere in life, and particularly Harvard University and the vast majority of our other universities, believing this Bible and believing the things in this Bible. Reminds me, I'm going to get sidetracked here, but it reminds me of my wife. She was going for postgraduate study. She was taking courses at Converse College, and she came back and told me, and she said, I can't believe it. There's this professor I have. He's a professor of history, and he's a teacher in the local, I think it was Presbyterian or Methodist church, one or the other. He was a Sunday school teacher. One of the first statements he made to the class was, anybody who would believe and take the Bible literally is a fool. I know that might raise eyebrows, but I've seen it before, countless. I saw it just very recently, where a man that had been in church, been in this church, been in other churches, at one time said he was saved by the grace of God, serving the Lord, doing this, doing that, recently, as in the last little while, last few weeks, declared that God is dead. There is no God. I don't fathom how anybody could be genuinely born again ever embraced and grasped the precepts of this book, I don't know how you could ever get to the place in your heart and life where you would say there is no God. This man apparently does. It's not entirely out of the realm of possibilities for people who are supposedly smart to be incredibly uneducated in real things. And getting back to the story, Harvard University has a president. She's well thought of at the university. She's been embroiled in a great controversy recently about anti-Semitic protests and remarks going on campus, and she would not condemn them, and she would not speak out against them when she was testifying before Congress. And it got her in a world of hot water, because a lot of folks in Congress are Jewish, or a ton of folks in Congress are Jewish empathizers. She came out as against those who would stand up for Israel, and it got her in a world of trouble. Turns out that she got her position, she got her doctorate degree by plagiarism. Plagiarism, that's just a fancy word for stealing. She got where she was by using other people's studies and their work and their sweat and their digging and their coming up with something. She stole it from them. It's documented. They put excerpts up on the screen of the TV of this person who she plagiarized or stole from and what she put in her dissertation, and it's almost word for word. You'd think she would have had enough sense to change it up a little bit. This world frowns on plagiarism, supposedly. She still has her job, so I don't know how much Harvard frowns on it. But in any case, we want to characterize ourselves as being different. There's not a young person in here that doesn't feel like you're your own person. You don't copy nobody. You march to your drum. You're not trying to be nobody else. Well, I want to say there's a realm in this world that where being like somebody else is not only entirely permissible, it is highly advisable, and ultimately is commendable for you to be just like them. And the Lord Jesus Christ is what I'm talking about. Emulating, copying, plagiarizing, if you will, his perfection. Jesus smiles when we take from him and his example, and we assimilate it and we make it part of our example. It's entirely commanded in Scripture that we be like Christ. He loves for us to take his words and use them to this world and quote them, and his writings and his thoughts and his commandments and his precepts. He loves for us to take them and use them for ourselves. I think one of the great things we're lacking in today is a Christ-likeness. There is no room for individuality in the ranks of the believer. We can't afford to be our own selves. We can't afford to do it our way. There's a standard here. There's a person. There's an image that we are. There's a template that we're to mold ourselves to and be like them. That person, Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, verse 48, the Bible says, "But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now, is Jesus saying you're going to match that? You're going to be just like God in heaven? He's saying strive for that. What God is, strive to be like God. God's love, God's peace, God's temperance, God's forbearing, God's loving, strive to be like God. Plagiarize God's attributes for your own. I think one thing that we need to emulate is Christ's attitude. Paul said in Philippians, and I'm skipping a lot of this, I'm going to wind it down here, it's about 13 till. Paul said this, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Oh, preacher, unity's boring. I grew up and I just believe that diversity is the way to go. You look at our world, you look at our political realm, you look at our educational realm, and you see what diversity has got us. Anything, anywhere, any way, everything goes. I was watching Andy Griffith. You know, being home a lot more than I was, I've come to know every episode of Andy Griffith. It comes on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If I'm not out working or doing something, if I turn the TV on, it's to Andy Griffith. And I know just about every episode that they made of Andy Griffith. But I was watching Andy Griffith on TV Land. Who knows what TV Land, I mean, that channel, TV Land. Right in the middle of primetime, kids being home from school, kids sitting down with a snack watching TV, mom and dad saying, you watch Andy Griffith. I know there's no cursing in there. I know there's no sex or violence in Andy Griffith. You watch Andy Griffith, and right in there when it comes to commercial break, the channel shows that this, I don't even have a word for him. He's about 7 foot tall, and he dresses like a woman, and he's got a whole stable of like-minded who dress like women, and they call themselves drag queens. Brother Jeff, I don't think they race, but drag queens. God bless your heart. If you're so open-minded that you think that's all right for your children to watch those freaks, you need a dose of reality. You need a dose of reality. But them to put that right in the middle of, they did not do that by accident. They did it on purpose to sway your children's hearts and minds that is normal behavior. You don't have to be a Bible thumper to realize that that's wrong, surely, unless your perception is so screwed up that you think that's entirely right and societally okay that your children see this stuff going on. I've seen commercials that I, Jack sitting there, I flipped the channel. Right in the middle of sitting there, a little kid watching something, eating a snack that you think is okay, they sneak it in. Our attitude ought to be one that is like Christ. Be like-minded with Jesus Christ. Don't come to me after service and say, well, Jesus thought it was okay. He didn't really judge people for that. Jesus judged a lot of people for a lot of things, and he will judge that crowd. I want to say lastly, in this emulating Christ's perfection, we emulate his perfect attitude, and lastly, we emulate his attributes. What are the attributes of Jesus Christ? Well, just about any liberal can say tell you that, well, he was a man of love, and he was one of his greatest. I wouldn't call it an attribute. I would call it an essence. It is who he is, that he would come. We just celebrated the commemoration of him coming to a little manger. There would be no cross without the manger, and there would be no empty tomb without the cross. So it all hinged and it all centered on that little manger in Bethlehem that we just commemorated over December the 25th. But he came, the Bible says, he came to seek and to save those that were lost. 1 John 4, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. You don't need to go find your commentaries for that. You don't need to find out what Dr. So-and-so has to say about that verse. It's expressive. It's self-explanatory. It is crystal clear, unambiguous. God is love. We need to emulate that attitude. Need to plagiarize it. Need to steal it, if you will, and take it home with us. Let it become a part of who we are. Not just something we're striving to do, but let it become an essence of who we are. There's the attribute of joy. How do we get that joy? I've seen a lot of people said they were saved, and I'll tell you the truth. I've been saved for a lot of years, and there have been times I did not have any joy. Joy comes from this. John chapter 15, verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. It's not an emotional church service. It's not a praise band getting you so wired that you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. It's not what it's all about. It's emulating who Jesus Christ is and God's joy flowing into us, and it becomes the essence of who we are. That's where real joy is. The emotional part will fade away. It'll ebb and flow. It'll go up and down like a roller coaster. But the essence of who God is, when he permeates and he gets in us and we're emulating who God is, who Jesus Christ is, we'll have that joy, peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3 there, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I've never seen in all the years I've lived so much hate and unrest, dissatisfaction, and a lot of it even in churches and amongst people who say that they're saved, just an unrest in their spirit, an unrest in their lives, a feeling of dissatisfaction, of incompleteness, let alone the world. We know what the world's going through and the rocking and rolling toward hell that the world's going through. But I'm talking about even God's people not being in that perfect peace. How do you get it? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Again, it's emulating that perfection that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll cut to the conclusion. The Lord tarries his coming another year, if he tarries his coming another year. I wonder if at the end of 2024, we'll look back as we do tonight and say, though I've missed the mark so many times. Theoretically, the older we get in Christ, the less we ought to miss the mark. I remember when I got interested in archery. I was a very young man, and I got interested in it. And I finally got serious about it, and got some good, what we called archery tackle. Nice bow, nice arrows, had a sight on it, and I practiced, and I practiced, and I practiced. And I kid you not, I got good. I got so good that if somebody had been willing to do it, I could have put an apple on their head at 20 yards and not hesitated and shot that apple off. Can I do that today? I wouldn't advise it. I'm saying when you work at something and you stay after it and you're determined and you have that desire to get good at it, whatever it is, when you dedicate yourself to it, you can be all in all that which you've chosen to be. And I hope in 2024 we'll be all in all for the cause of Christ. Bow your head just for a moment. Won't even ask you to stand. It may be someone here has need of this altar. I wouldn't want to leave without giving you opportunity. Thank you so much for coming. Doing more in 2024. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's a heart's desire of this old boy. God would do something in our church, move it to that next level. If it means more numbers, hallelujah. But I want to see people in this church get serious about serving the Lord. I want to get serious, more so about serving the Lord. Folks, we need to look for ways to be like him. Need to look for ways to please him, to do for this church, because this church belongs to him. Heard someone recently say they would never come back into this church. Faulty perception. Because of a person or a couple of people, maybe three people. They're never coming back into this church that they spent many years in. I don't understand that line of thinking other than to know that the Bible says a backslider is filled with his own ways. And our ways are never good. As we take those ways that are of Jesus Christ and incorporate them, there our ways become his ways. Father, we thank you for every heart that came this way tonight. God, I pray in this stuttering, stammering endeavor of trying to take this verse and, Lord, make it a blessing to others the way it's been a blessing to my heart, I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit will take that and do and move in the lives and hearts of your people. God, if you do, allow us another year. Lord, I pray that we'll be found trying with all that's within us to make 2024 different from 2023. Lord, the very nature of growing as a Christian dictates that we do better, that we do more, that we become more like you. God, to that end, help us. I pray for those that are traveling, for those that will travel. You bless and help them, keep them safe, watch over them. For those in our church that are sick, I pray for little baby Chandler. Lord, you speedily get that child able to come home. And Lord, you just reassure Cameron and Taylor that you're there. You see what's going on. You know and you hold them in your hand because they love you. Help them to see and know your presence. For the many other folks that are sick in our church, for those that are shut in, we don't see them anymore. They're not able to get out. Miss Patsy and Miss Bonnie Carney, I pray for these ladies. I beg you, Lord, to minister to their hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll give our church folks safe travels to their home tonight. We turn the lights out and go home. Lord, I pray we'll be mindful of your presence all through the night. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Y'all are at liberty to go. I hope you have some fellowship with each other. I hope nobody gets sick and we see you back here Sunday morning.